He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the Wednesday, February the 25th, live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and we are broadcasting. I am broadcasting live. Barry's here, but he's meeting with folks already. We've got a full lineup today of folks to meet with here in beautiful Houston. This is one of the 12 markets or 12 cities that we are currently in as a firm, and this is my first visit to Houston. So far, so good. The market certainly is treating us well here today so far. We've got the Dow up almost to 50,000 here today. Not quite. We're up 212 to 49,836. The NASDAQ is up 1.1%. NVIDIA will report tonight. The NASDAQ's up 240 to 23,104. We're hitting a new all-time high as a firm today since I started this thing back in 2006. The S&P is up 42 to 6,932. The bond market is quiet. Even Bitcoin is rallying today. It's up 2,300. And gold is up just a skosh. Gold is at 5,183. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm not here with Barry Kite today, but I am here. He is here. He's taking care of some things that I can't do while I'm talking here on the radio. He's meeting with some folks. We have a full lineup of folks to meet with the next 2 days. And, of course, I'll be teaching a workshop tonight here at the Houston, at the Weston Oaks, at the Galleria. What a great spot, man. This is my favorite place. Last night I got on the elevator and I pushed one. Yes, there's no L for lobby. You know, even elevators nowadays are hard to figure out with all the digital and wave your card. And I walked out into this beautiful mall, the ice skating rink. And every fashion designer from Dolce & Gabbana to Versace, I mean, unbelievable food court, restaurants, stores, shops. I think I'll stay here. I think I'll come here more often. I really like what I've seen so far. We'll be working hard today, as usual, as we make our tour of 12 different cities this year. Maybe some will hit more than once. We'll have to see. We were coming from Scottsdale this past weekend, which is another obviously beautiful place. I like that desert landscape and those cacti and those baseball teams there in April. And we had a workshop there Monday night. Now, I may be biased, but I was told by the crowd that in all the years they've had people come do workshops on the stock market there at their investment club, that was the best workshop they've ever seen. All right, and I'm humble. But I'm just telling you what they said. And on the way down here, I looked at several hundred charts yesterday. That's another great thing, you know. Look, while you're in the air, you can be on a really fast internet and looking at stock charts, which always is a big part of my day. I didn't see anything yesterday that I wanted to buy and sell, but the market ended up with a pretty nice day yesterday, about the same as today. We seem to be putting behind us that false narrative that Wall Street is wrong about again, that AI is going to crush all of these companies and put them out of business. No, you still need people. Sorry. But there will be a lot of businesses that will be very negatively impacted, just like any kind of disruption that comes along. you want to be invested in the disruptors and not the disrupted. And that's a big theme that I have always followed in the stock market. And you want to be where the demand is. And when Wall Street is spending, 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 you want to be with those companies that are on the receiving end of that spending. And where is most of this spending going on right now? Data centers, power, you know, electricity, infrastructure. Those are the companies. As far as the big spenders go, you know, that's those are the ones you want to be a little bit wary of. So anyways, that's how this market currently shapes up. I do think that this financial thing with the private credit, I think that's starting to rear its ugly head, which I've borne for many years, or whenever this first started, to maybe it was a year ago or something, when all these conferences, come to this conference, come to that conference, we're going to teach you how to invest in private credit and get double-digit returns. No thanks. I've seen that. I've seen that act before, and the last time you had an idea like this, it was mortgages. At least the mortgages were backed up by homes that you could take if the mortgage went bad. This case, you don't even have a home backing it up, and I think you're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. But for right now, it doesn't seem to be impacting the market. Although it did have a big impact in the market on Monday. A big impact in the market on Monday. Mortgage applications rise modestly. Well, you know, there is a silver lining. The 10-year has dropped down to 4.05 right now. That's the lowest we've seen it in a long time. And I think our Treasury Secretary Bessent has done a really good job with the bond market. And he's the bond salesman. He sells U.S. bonds for a living. And I think he's done a very good job in getting down the rates, not with without any help from the Fed, to 4.05%. And we've seen a very good rally in the bond market. You can look at an ETF of a bond like AGG or IEF would be a good one. IEF is the ETF that represents the 10-year, the 7 to 10-year bonds. You know, it's been breaking out recently. But over the years, and I showed this at the workshop in Phoenix, I said, here's a 10-year return of the bond market. Here's one of the biggest bond funds out there. It had returned, I think it was 0.96% per year over the last 10 years. You say, well, wait a minute, Bill. Doesn't a bond pay 5-6%? Yes, it does. But you also have to count the other side of that equation, and that is the principal. And bond funds have gone down over the last 10 years, okay? So they haven't even stayed even. And I said to myself, and I said it out loud to the folks there, look, I was at Sun City West, Arizona. That's a major retirement community. People there are not starting new businesses. They're retired. And they're the folks that Wall Street has invented the equation that, let's just say, the average age over there is 70 years old. Well, that retirement community could have 70% of their assets in bond funds. And what have those bond funds returned over the last 10 years? Less than 1% per year. And I just wonder how many trillions are tied up in these bond funds that Vanguard is managing, that Fidelity is managing, that all these big wirehouses are managing and earning fees. And at the end of the day, the investors in those bond funds have not done very, very well. Now, I don't know what the next 10 years will bring. But I just don't like the formula that you're 70 years old and that means you should have 70% of your money in bond funds. What about 2022 when we knew the Fed was going to start hiking rates? They signaled it. Jerome Powell sounded the horn. The freight train is coming around the track. You better get off the tracks. Bond funds got ran over by a freight train. Grandma got ran over by a reindeer, and you had the Silicon Valley Bank You would think a bank would know better, but no. They had long term. That's the worst terminology that you could own in a rising interest rate environment. Anything that is long term, because it is ultra sensitive to interest rates. It was not a good idea to have any exposure to the bond market unless you owned individual bonds that you were going to hold to maturity during that 2022 rate hike binge by behind the curve Jerome Powell. It put Silicon Valley Bank out of business and it crushed the bond market. 70% of your assets in the bond market because of your age? I don't think so. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. If you're in the Houston area, I will be teaching a workshop tonight at 7 p.m. here at the Weston Oaks at the Houston Galleria. And you can call Edie at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And if you'd like to meet with us while we're here, I think we're pretty booked up. But you know what? We'll figure it out. Call us at 855-611-BEST. Okay, why do interest rates have such a big impact on the market? Well, you know, we're at 4.05. That's good. I mean, but it needs to be lower. You got these companies reporting like Lowe's and Home Depot. What are they citing as a big headwind for them? The building, the housing market. It's a major headwind, and it impacts many industries. It impacts realtors. It impacts remodelers. It impacts the home builders. It impacts the mortgage people and on down the line. And that's why I believe that interest rates need to go lower than where they are now because it remains a major headwind. And it's a major headwind for, obviously, the first-time home buyer. We're becoming a renting nation. The average first-time home buyer now is 40 years old. That's not good. Something should give. Here's the biggest story of the day. The Atlanta Braves reported earnings today. Well, they lost 66 cents. You know, how many games did they lose last year? Poor Atlanta. I mean, they're a great franchise. They've been a storied franchise over the years. I've seen Atlanta. I remember the years when they had those pitchers, Tommy Glavin and Schmaltz, and of course, I can't think of the other guy's name, Greg. They were unbelievable team, and I've always really admired the Atlanta Braves. But they reported earnings today, so that's good. Here we are in spring training. I saw a couple games over the weekend. And believe it or not, the Atlanta Braves are a publicly traded team. You probably make more money in the prediction markets, you know, betting on how many home runs, you know, so-and-so will hit or whatever. I don't think owning the stock is a very good idea. But remember Ted Turner was Atlanta Braves. He began his end. He made all his money in the billboard business. And that's the business that I grew up in a very similar company to Ted Turner. He had Turner Outdoor, and we had a family billboard outdoor advertising company out of San Diego. NVIDIA shares drift a little bit here. Let's take a look at how NVIDIA, last time I looked, it was up 1%. NVIDIA is going to report earnings tonight. That's a good chart on NVIDIA. It's hopeful. It's encouraging. It's constructive. After all, their earnings have grown by 83% per year over the last 5 years. Do stocks follow earnings? Well, I showed on the Best Stocks Now app at the workshop in Sun City on Monday. I said, here you go. NVIDIA, over the last 10 years, an investment in NVIDIA has delivered to you an average annual return of 75% per year. Gee, look how close that is to the earnings growth rate of 83% per year over the last 5 years. There seems to be a correlation here. And then I flipped the switch and I showed Disney. And I showed how there had been no growth in earnings in Disney over the last 5 to 10 years. And what have investors earned in Disney over the last 10 years? Less than 1% per year. Okay. Gee, there seems to be a correlation to a no growth company and the returns that you get as an investor, and a very fast growing company and the returns that you get. Yes, multiples do matter. Valuations do matter, and eventually earnings don't grow forever. I mean, at one time Disney was a fast growing company. At one time Walmart was a fast growing company. At one time Procter and Gamble was a fast growing company. But eventually you kind of hit a wall, like I think Home Depot would be a good example. Another pride of Atlanta there. Eventually you slow down. You can't grow by 50. And NVIDIA will have its headwinds at some point in time. But right now they're running as fast as they can before the competition catches up. And selling as fast as they can. And in the meantime, that continues to be one of our biggest holdings. We've cut it in half a couple of times, as I said at the workshop on Monday. I don't believe in one position being 25% of my firm or 15% of my firm or in my clients' accounts. That's even more important. I believe in, managing risk. And one of the ways you manage risk is you have 25 people on a baseball team. You don't have one. If you're depending on one or two players on your baseball team and all of a sudden one of them goes down with Tommy John surgery or gets hit by a pitch, your big home run hitter, and he's down for the season, well, okay. That's why you diversify. The same things that apply to baseball apply to the stock market. You have to have a good bench, and you have to have good players around your stars. Okay, you don't want a bunch of duds, or you end up like some of these teams that are perennial doormats in Major League Baseball. Okay, what else do we have? What else do we don't? We have so much here that I could talk about today. I'm just trying to pick the biggest stories out there. I think this is a big story myself. UBS hikes the worst-case private credit default view to 15%. I still think they're being too optimistic. Strategist at UBS. Oh, and by the way, J.P. Morgan, who's throwing darts now at the whole private credit thing, which bank do you think has the most exposure to private credit? J.P. Morgan. All right. A strategist at UBS Group now warned that default rates in private credit could climb as high as 15%. Well, I wonder, what was the default rate? Maybe somebody can look this up. Ask Grok. Ask ChatGPT. Ask Gemini or Anthropic or whatever your flavor of AI is. What was the default rate during the mortgage crisis of 08? And 09, I'm going to guess it was well over 50% of those going belly up, if not more. That's just off the top of my head. I don't know the actual number. It's very murky trying to find how much was tied up in those mortgages. We're being told that there's $1.8 trillion tied up in this private credit, which is a ticking time bomb. But UBS is now at least fessing up to maybe there's going to be 15%. The last time they reported, they were at 13%. Now they're raising it to 15%. And just days earlier, Blue Owl Capital restricted investor withdrawals from one of its private credit funds, heightening unease around loans made by direct lenders. You see, a direct lender is not a bank. I'm a direct lender. Guy hits me up, hey, Bill, can you spare $20? I'm a little short this week. That's a direct lender. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Trump orders tech giants to power their own damn AI data centers under rare. He didn't say damn, I said that. Under rate protection pledge. Well, Trump doesn't want the folks to have to pay for Meta's, for, you know, whiny little Mark Zuckerberg's power that he needs for his AI data center. You pay for it yourself. And I don't think that there's any company better positioned. This was another theme that I highlighted at my workshop on Monday. By the way, if you come to the workshop tonight, I pretty much disclose everything that we own and why we like it and themes in the market that we like. And it's way different from everybody else. I don't think I'll bring up AT&T once or Procter & Gamble or Johnson & Johnson or Coca-Cola. No, I think GEV. Have you seen that chart lately? Have you seen GE Vernova? Look at that thing. It's going to make $22.09 per share. Now, this is not, you know, the traditional utilities are not very good investments. But you've got hybrid utilities. GE doesn't really even fit that one. A hybrid utility would more be like a Vistra. Or a Constellation Energy, which are brokering power. But GE Vernova is the nuts and bolts. It's the infrastructure. It's the Levi's that they supplied to the gold miners while they were panning for gold. Levi's was printing, was weaving gold at their plants there in the Bay Area. But I just think that there's a lot of winners here coming in this whole data infrastructure build-out data. And I think you want to be on the receiving end of the spending and not on the doling out end of the spending. So anyways, that's something that Trump's, I think he mentioned it probably at his State of the Union last night. A majority of U.S. teens use AI. Well, you know, we were sitting in a restaurant and there was a family next to us with kids, maybe 8, 9, 10. And I heard them all saying, Mom, I'm going to ask AI this. I'm going to ask AI this. I'm going to ask AI that. Well, okay. That's a little bit worrisome to me when they're getting all their answers. And what else are they going to get from AI? Therein lies one of the dangers of artificial intelligence, you know, and when little kids are going to AI instead of mom and dad for their answers, who knows what AI is telling them behind our backs. Lumentum gains as Citi puts on an upside 30-day catalyst watch. Well, I would just say that Citigroup is a little bit late to the party here. This stock has been the hottest stock in the market, I would say, so far in 2026. And we own it in our emerging growth portfolio. If you look at the last 4 quarters of earnings, plus 533%, plus 777%, plus 511%, plus 298%, their annual earnings are going to rise 269% this year and 87% next year. And that's not, you know, those no guarantee that the stock is going to go higher. But so far this year, the stock began the year at 400. It's 743. Do the math. That's an 80% gain, something like that, since January 1st, and we're only in late February. We're only 2 months into the year. Lumentum provides optical communication photonic products for manufacturing, inspection, and life science fields. They're headquartered in Milpitas, California. That's also known as that Silicon Valley area, which I can't wait to get back to this year, hopefully in the springtime here. Once we get, we're probably headed to Sarasota after this, and then I would think maybe Silicon Valley after that. We just kind of play it as we go here during the year and see where the compass leads us, you know. Anyways, Lumentum, LIT, it's getting an upgrade and a catalyst watch. You know, I just think they're a little bit late, but that's Wall Street for you. They usually are late. Okay, now on the other side of the coin, these are new. I've never really seen these before. I guess I have. Catalyst Watch. It's on Catalyst Watch. That means there will be, they think there's going to be enough catalyst in the next 30 days to drive it even higher. And let's see, Citigroup puts an $800 target price on Lumentum. The symbol is LITE, L-I-T-E. It's at 742 now, so I would just say that the risk to reward is pretty thin now. It was a lot better risk to reward when it was in the 400-500 area. Now it's in the $742 area. Okay, now here's a catalyst to the downside watch. So I'll see your raise, and I'll give you a watch on the downside. Astera Labs, ALAB, which we do have a small position in, is put on Citigroup, put in on 30-day negative catalyst watch. They think that A-Lab is well-placed in the AI ecosystem and is adding more optical capabilities longer term. They estimate that over the short term, the company will continue to be viewed as the main copper-focused AI networking company. Okay, you get that, the difference? You've got Lumentum, which is fiber, and you've got A-Lab, which is transitioning quickly to fiber. But right now, you've got UBS, was it? UBS? No, Citigroup, saying that we still view it as the main copper-focused AI networking company. Therefore, we think that over the 30 days, A-Lab stock sentiment will likely be pressured heading to and coming out of OFC as key optical announcements highlighting potential displacement of copper-based solutions will be in focus. There's something to think about and talk about around the dinner table. Tom Lee spies a bottom in software stocks. Yeah, well, I said last week I'm seeing a bottom forming, and he's using the same ETF that I use as a proxy, IGV. IGV's top five holdings are Microsoft, Palantir, Oracle, Salesforce, and Intuit. I can tell you those are four bad stocks and one good stock. Now, does that mean that just because the software sector is starting to put in a bottom that you should go in and buy these big five software stocks? No. I say you have to go in and look at the companies within the sector and choose and find the very best stocks in the sector. Okay? And We obviously have a few favorites in that sector. I do agree with Tom Lee, but Tom Lee's also a big proponent of crypto. I wonder if he thinks that crypto is putting in a bottom here. Carlyle Secured Lending declares a 40-cent dividend. Okay, the reason I bring this up is because this is one of those big yielding stocks. This is not the stock Carlyle Group. This is CGBD, which is their secured lending company. It's a middle lender, middle market lender. They provide financing solutions to middle market companies. Okay, the current dividend yield on this stock is, I think it's 14%, 14.3%. Now, what's wrong with that picture? 14.3%, that sounds like, why would you not invest in that? Well, the stock's gone from $19 a share down to $11 a share. That's a drop of 40%. That's the one side of this equation is the principal. The principal's dropped by 40%. The other side of the equation is the dividend yield. You've received 14.3% in dividends. 40 minus 14 is a net loss of 26%. You know, I've had people that have actually argued with that math. Well, I'm still getting my dividend. What do I care what the principal is doing? I just think, okay, hey, whatever. You can think whatever you want, but it's all about total return. And my Best Stocks Now app shows total return, which over the last 12 months is minus 27.9%. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. And I want to just, in this last little bit of the show here, let's talk about, I want to, REITs. I'm going to throw this in because a lot of people think that REITs are the answer. Real estate investment trust. In fact, there was a time on Seeking Alpha. The fervor has died down somewhat. But it had basically become a REIT publication. You had all these guys that were writers saying that REITs were the panacea. I mean, they were the best thing, since sliced bread for your retirement. And in San Diego, we had probably the best REIT out there in Realty Income. They paid monthly income. I still have a clock somewhere in one of my boxes. That Realty Income gave to me. It says Realty Income, monthly income, and it's a clock. Like that dividend comes in, like clockwork every month. But, okay, you say this is a perfect candidate to put under the microscope and look at the total returns over the last 10 years. Isn't that fair to treat every stock the same? I mean, what's your track record? Well, over the last 10 years, and look, there's a lot of risk in owning a real estate investment trust. As I look around at the real estate sector, I look at office buildings and downtowns with downtown areas that are vacant. I see shopping malls that are basically out of business. I see all kinds of problems in the real estate market. So, an investment in O, and this is probably one of the best REITs out there, over the last 10 years, and it's been volatile, has averaged 6.26 per year. Well, that's about what your home has averaged, maybe, and you get to live in your home. You can't live in your REIT, nor can you live off of your REIT. And we were told, we were fed the fable that they're non-correlated to the stock market, especially a non-traded REIT. It's not correlated to the stock market. Yeah, well, it's not correlated to the stock market if you don't price it every day. And they got away with that for a while. And then they said, well, you got to start pricing these things on a regular basis. And then we found out they are correlated to the stock market. How did REITs hold up in the 7 through 9 bear market? They went down 43%. The S&P was down 54%. I would say they're pretty correlated with the stock market. And there's a lot of risk in a REIT. Yes, you get your monthly income, but that principal is all over the map. Over the last 3 years, you've averaged 5.9% per year. In my opinion, and rather than watching a REIT go up and down and up and down, and at the end of the day, you're earning 6%. It seems to me if you buy an individual bond, a quality bond that pays about 5.5, maybe somewhere in there, it has no volatility, very little volatility, and at the end of the day, there's your principal, and it's liquid. Of course, a publicly traded REIT is totally liquid, too, but you're at the mercy of interest rates. I just think if you compare them side by side, why do I want to take all that extra risk for maybe 0.5% more in return? I don't know. It doesn't make much sense to me. And I have bear market risk. The realty income was down 43% during the bear market of 08 and 09. An individual bond, now unless you had it in Lehman Brothers or Bear Stearns or something like that, which, you know, I wouldn't have been buying those bonds, but people did. You want to buy bonds and best stocks now. They weren't best stocks now. I just not a big fan. I don't use REITs as a mode for income. As an alternative to the stock market, I don't see them being non-correlated to the stock market. I think your real estate investing is best done on the side. You know, yourself, maybe you have apartments, maybe you have rental units, you have control over the situation, you have a liquidity issue, and you really have to figure out what kind of return you're getting on your investment. You know, I've had a lot of people, when they do the math, I said, well, you've got to count the interest you're paying on the loan. You've got to count the plumbing, the repairs. Maybe you're paying a management fee to a company. What is your total return? How much equity do you have in that rental property? And what is your net return? What's your profit, your bottom line profit? Divide that into your equity, and that's going to give you what your yield is, and you may find that it's not very good. I don't know. You'd have to do the math. But I'm not really a big fan of real estate investment trusts, but I found it interesting that Realty Income reported earnings today, so I thought it'd be a good time to revisit the REIT sector. Okay, I'm not going to do these other stocks. First Solar's getting clobbered today. Solar can't keep up with the demand for electricity. Hewlett Packard is one of the worst stocks out there. There's no need to even mention that one. TJ Maxx, you know what? You can do a whole lot better than TJ Maxx. Okay, well, we're out of time for today. Tonight we'll get NVIDIA's earnings. I don't know what they're going to do. They've never, ever disappointed in recent years. But if anything, well, we expected 1,000%. We only got 999%. Therefore, the stock is down 3%. It could be something like that. But all in all, we still have a very healthy target price on NVIDIA over the next 5 years. And the competition has not caught up with them yet, even though eventually they will. Okay, and that's just kind of a given in the tech industry. So we'll see what happens. We'll report on it tomorrow. In the meantime, I'm looking forward to a workshop tonight here in Houston at the Houston Weston Oaks at the Galleria. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us, we'll squeeze you in somewhere. I'll work till midnight if I have to. Call us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.